Hi, this is Cami with Feminist Mormon Housewives. Before we listen to Catherine Roebuck's interview for Narrating Ordained Women, we're going to listen to her poem. Here's Catherine.
They came to our home on a Thursday evening, telling neatly bordered stories and proclaiming easy answers, and really, I don't fault them much for that. I was 18 once too, and understood life with the crisp lines they see everywhere. So I don't fault the elders for their age, but I do fault them for the way they talk around me, leaving enough space for me to sit on my own couch, but clearly giving no weight to my comments. They ask my husband for a ride home after the lesson, and he's glad to take them, and it's not until he's back and I have helped our babies fall asleep that I learn how they led him inside and said they'd speak for God if he would like them to, and he said yes. I hear the words while standing in the kitchen, clean bowl and dish towel in my hands, and I feel decades of church spires crowding faith out of my lungs because the man whose children tore out of my body to his gentle tears has learned to trust male voices over mine, no matter if the voices are familiar or strange. These boys assume a title that in other faiths is reserved for the learned and mature, but all they need to earn it in our church is to be male, and so the age and study I bring to the altar are weighed against my body and I'm sent away with empty hands. I want to tell him I will bless him, but even if he believed I could, I'm not sure that I do. In our church, we teach confidence to men and deference to women, and a lifetime of these messages has made me hesitant. I don't know yet if I can speak for God, and so tonight I only pray, sending my aching to the sky. Ordain women, ordain me.
Host Cami, and we are continuing our Now series for Narrating Ordained Women. I have with me Catherine Roebuck. Is that how you say your last name?
Right, yeah.
Okay. Her poem is what you've just heard in the beginning of this podcast, and we'll discuss that a little bit more. How are you doing, Catherine?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. My pleasure. So, Catherine, where do you live?
I live in Meridian, Idaho. I just moved here about a month ago.
Where is Meridian?
It's very close to Boise.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of the suburbs.
I thought with Meridian, well, is Boise in the middle of the state?
Boise is near the Oregon border.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought with the name Meridian, it would be in the middle. So
it does sound that way. Yeah.
It does. And how long have you been a member of the church?
I've been a member for my entire life. I was born in the church.
Okay. Okay. And do you have a family? Are you guys active in the church right now? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, we're active. My husband is a convert. He joined the church on his own at age 8, and it has been really a kind of a safe haven in his life. And so he loves the church, and we're very active in the church. We have two children. They're both toddlers right now. They love nursery.
Are they twins? Yeah. They're both toddlers.
No, they're not twins. They're 21 months apart, but they actually, people mistake them for twins all the time.
So I am assuming you haven't had any sleep for the last 2 years.
It's been a while, yeah.
Did you both grow up in Idaho?
Neither of us. I grew up overseas. I was born in France. My family, my dad was a diplomat, so my family moved a lot. So I've lived in France, Bolivia, Austria, Nicaragua, Ukraine, Sweden, and then my husband grew up in first Arizona and then Alabama, and we met in Utah at BYU. Mm-hmm. And then together we have also moved. We've lived in Alabama, Oregon, and now Idaho, but we're hoping to stop that and stay here.
Wow. So do you speak other languages?
I don't really have very much talent for languages. I did attend all 4 years of high school at a Swedish school in Sweden, and so I speak pretty good Swedish.
Oh.
Other than that, I don't really I have studied other languages, but my retention has not been great for the other languages.
I'm the same way. Yeah. I can say just a little bit, but so Catherine, tell us a little bit about when and why you posted your profile on ordainedwomen.org.
I had been involved with the Let Women Pray project, which had, it was kind of my first experience with Mormon activism, although I had done the Wear Pants to Church as well. But participating with Let Women Pray really ignited my testimony, my faith, my enjoyment of participating in church. So it was this very positive thing for me. I was just really loving being Mormon for the first time in quite a while. Mm. And so I wanted to continue with Mormon feminist activism. So the next project that came up was Ordain Women. The day the site launched, I hadn't heard anything about it until it went public. And when it launched, I was just delighted. I was so happy. I was so hopeful. I wanted to be involved. But it took me a while, months, to figure out, you know, what to write and to find pictures and to gather the bravery to face the fallout, the social consequences. So the day I submitted my profile, it was a Sunday. It was September 1st, 2013. And it all came together very quickly because a ward member made a very hurtful, very otherizing comment about ordained women supporters at church. And I didn't say anything then, but I came home and I typed up a profile. I chose photos and I sent it all in. So there was no editing. There was no winking. It was just like, I did it. And my hope was I wanted to humanize ordained women to the members of my ward who were viewing ordained women supporters as unwanted outsiders. So I wanted them to see that, you know, this is not just radical strangers. This is me. This is the person sitting next to you. So I sent in my profile and it was posted just a couple of days later.
Oh, wow. And have any of the people in your ward seen that or read it?
Yes. I had been in the ward for less than a year at that time, so people didn't know me super well. It wasn't as impactful as it may have been if I were more established. But I did have some reactions from ward members. Some negative, some positive, a lot of just ignoring. But the main interaction I had with a ward member was quite negative. She called me selfish and crazy for supporting ordained women. And that was quite shocking to me because this is someone who our children played together. She had been to my house. I had been to hers. I thought she was a friend.
Yeah.
So that was shocking to me. But in response to that, this all happened on Facebook, and in response to that, then several other ward members reached out and said, you know, that they really felt bad seeing that happen, and they supported my authentic expression of my faith, even if they didn't necessarily agree with me.
Right. Oh, that's good. That's really positive.
It is, yeah. I was concerned about what would happen if someone else brought the news to my bishop first. So I reached out to my bishop and let him know that I had a profile up, let him know that I was planning on participating in the April action. So I was in touch with him, and he didn't agree, but he also seemed to recognize that I was doing this from a place of faith and a place of authenticity and not trying to attack
the church. Right. Unfortunately, some of the language as far as like protesting and things that people see in the media, they immediately conjure up an emotional image. So that's really good that you were able to talk to him and he was able to see where you were coming from.
Yeah. One thing that I think helped was he had a brother who was an usher at Temple Square during the April action, which I attended. And so I spoke to my bishop afterward, and his brother, who had been there as an usher representing the church, had told him how respectful we were, how reverently we behaved ourselves. I don't really know how to phrase that, but that we were not wild protesters or anything. So right. I think that really helped.
It wasn't even protesting. There's no protesting involved. Period. Right. Yeah. So you did this oral poem that we had at the beginning of the podcast. What was the event that transpired? Tell us a little bit about that.
So the poem, I will provide a disclaimer that it is the first and only spoken word poem I've ever written. So,
it was well done.
No expert here, but we had the missionaries over for dinner and they wanted to teach the first lesson, I guess. It was really a tough experience for me because I just felt very ignored throughout the lesson. Mm. It seemed that they were addressing my husband, making eye contact with him, listening to his comments, and I felt sort of talked over. Mm. And then when they left, they asked my husband to give them a ride home, and he did. And he came home and told me that when he dropped them off, they asked him if he would like a blessing. And he said yes, and it had been quite a while since he had had a blessing. And he was really appreciative. But as he told me about this, then I was just kind of hit by the reality that our church considers it more appropriate for these teenage boys who are complete strangers, don't know us at all, to give my husband a blessing than for me, his wife, who knows him, who loves him, to give him a blessing. Mm. And that was, it really hurt. The things that I see as the greatest loss LDS women have experienced is the loss of I don't even want to say authority, but the cultural acceptableness of women giving blessings, because that used to be okay and now it's taboo. Mm-hmm. I think that's a huge loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do too. It's such a, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, and I was just talking with somebody before this recording how I don't think we are allowed to be moved by the Spirit when the Spirit dictates somebody that we love and that's close to us needs a blessing. Mm-hmm. And for myself, since I have just let go and kind of felt around intuitively and allow the Spirit to speak to me as it will and not try to put any parameters around it, I've had a couple experiences where I've felt called to do that. And they've been so beautiful and so spiritual, completely edifying and in harmony. And it's, I think of the Bible when Jesus with the disciples came to him and said, there's somebody blessing people in your name. He's not one of our disciples. And Jesus said, he's doing no harm. He's doing good. Mm-hmm. It was a little bit, it's disconcerting that it has to be correlated and compiled and copyrighted into a certain format when the Spirit really doesn't work that way. It really is more fluid, like the wind, like Peter, or I think it was Paul that mentioned that.
Yeah, I agree. I wrote that poem just a few days before a Mormon feminist gathering that I went to, and at that gathering, I had my first experience with women giving blessings. I had read about it, but I had never been there for it before. And it was absolutely beautiful, mm-hmm. so uplifting. And I loved that it was not as correlated, that mm-hmm. it was more free form. It felt like they were free to just follow the promptings of the Spirit. And it was a little bit different mm-hmm. than blessings I've had from men. And blessings I've seen men give, but it was so beautiful. I loved it.
Yeah, I think we've mistaken order for organizational order for the Spirit. And it's not the same. They're two completely different things. And the church culture is different than the gospel message. And so there are some differences that sometimes get skewed in it. And it is nice to go back and see our roots, because it's very powerful to know that we, and that's not just our roots, but I think it's our destiny as well.
I agree.
So what kind of, now that we're talking about that, what kind of vision do you have for ordained women in the church?
I am really excited about Ordained Women's international effort that they're launching right now. And I really hope to see Ordained Women transition into an effective and culturally sensitive international effort. I would love to see that. I grew up overseas and I saw the need for more authority to be given to the local members because there's kind of this, you know, we have this very, very, very white American general leadership. Mm-hmm. And that's who we send out to set all of the different local areas and branches and stakes and such in order. And there's a lot of culture that leaks into the gospel that I think is detrimental.
Very white American.
So, so white American. And so for Ordained Women, I hope to see the Ordained Women leadership and participation also become diverse and inclusive so that we can really advocate for all Mormon women, not just white American Mormon women.
Yes. Yes. That's a really interesting perspective.
Yeah. It's just, if we make what we think is progress and what happens is that church leadership continues to be white American, but the power is distributed between white American men and white American women. Mm-hmm. That's not progress. That's not Zion.
Yeah.
We have to increase the visibility, the leadership participation, the representation of all of our members, and especially members of color, because we are really, really behind there.
Yeah. I think with having women's voices in leadership roles and in decision-making, these aspects can be given more of a voice. Is there anything else you'd like to say, Catherine, to anyone in the audience, or just some last thoughts you'd like to leave? I kind of threw that at you. I didn't tell you I was going to say that. Sorry.
I guess the last thought I would like to leave is that in my hope for a more inclusive church, I really hope that we can allow space to just allow the possibility that the path someone is on is the path that God wants them to be on. Hmm. That they're doing their best and they're doing what's right for them, even if it's different from the path that is right for us. And that is my plea for my friends and family and loved ones who don't understand or don't agree with my participation with Ordained Women, that I respect that this is not the right path for them right now. Mm-hmm. And I ask them to please respect that it is the right path for me. I can't claim to know what is ultimately right for the church or what ultimately God wants for the church as an organization. That is not in my stewardship. It's not my calling. I can't claim to know that, and I don't. But I do think that I can know what is right for me, and whether or not women are ordained, it's right for me to advocate for it right now. And I allow for the possibility that this may all be leading to something else, something we can't even imagine yet. You've got to keep